Saint Philomena, pray for us sinners. Pray for us sinners. Pray for us sinners. Pray for us sinners.
We invoke Saint Philomena, Virgin and Martyr, to pray for us sinners. She who is the patroness of this show dedicated to Saint Joseph, Saint Joseph, spouse of Mary. Welcome to our third episode on this show dedicated to Saint Joseph. For those who are new to the show, we spoke once about this possible devotion to the chaste heart of Saint Joseph, the most chaste heart of Saint Joseph. As a bishop in Brazil in 2016 approved the alleged apparitions of Saint Joseph in Brazil, revealing his most chaste heart, and the bishop approved a shrine to be built there. So we were asking, is Providence asking that alongside the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we have devotion to the most chaste heart of Saint Joseph? And is this a way of us mitigating punishment? Is this a way of us making reparation for not complying with the requests of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, for not spreading the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary around the world? Could Saint Joseph be a means of us making satisfaction, let's say? We begin our show with a song, Gregorian chant, in honor of Saint Joseph. And let us pray that Saint Joseph can be with us on our journey towards the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, in this episode, I'm going to be reading from a book called The Divine Favors Granted to Saint Joseph by Père Binet. It's published by TAN. We're going to look at chapter 4, which speaks about the eminent graces of Saint Joseph's soul. We're going to look particularly at Saint Joseph the Virgin, as well as Saint Joseph, guardian angel of Mary. But let us look first, as a little introduction, one of the measure of the graces of Saint Joseph, which is his title of spouse of Mary, which is what our show is called, Saint Joseph, spouse of Mary. So I'll now read from The Divine Favors Granted to Saint Joseph. According to Saint John Damascene, the dignity of spouse of Mary is one so elevated that no human eloquence can express it. Neither is it possible worthily to celebrate the greatness of Saint Joseph without understanding that of his holy spouse, who is the Queen of the saints and angels, and the Mother of God. Who then is to form a true idea of the dignity of Saint Joseph, as also of the graces he holds in consequence of that dignity, St. Bernardine of Siena says that the virginal marriage of Mary and Joseph was only contracted on earth after having been decided in heaven, and that these two spouses were perfectly worthy one of the other. Mary surpassed all men and angels in the sovereign plenitude of her graces. Therefore, it was necessary that, after her, Joseph should be the most holy human being that existed, that had ever existed, or that should ever exist upon earth. I think we should repeat that. Mary surpassed all men and angels in the sovereign plenitude of her graces. Therefore, it was necessary that after her, Joseph should be the most holy human being that existed, that had ever existed, or that should ever exist upon earth. Or is it possible to believe that heaven contains any servant of Mary more eminent in holiness than he who has the honor of being her spouse, her lord, and her master? And let us even suppose that Joseph had not been enriched with the most precious gifts of heaven before he espoused the Most Holy Virgin. What must she not afterwards have asked God for her spouse? What innumerable graces must not she have obtained for him? For if Saint Bernard be right in asserting that no grace comes down from heaven to earth but through the munificent hands of the Mother of God, if there be no kind of celestial blessing which she has not obtained for one or the other of her servants, must we not believe that she will have done more for her spouse and the guardian angel of her virginity than for all other human beings? Here is a beautiful thought which I borrow from Saint Gregory of Nazianzen, and which applies perfectly to our subject. This great bishop tells us that his sister, Saint Gorgina, had a husband whom she loved like her own self, and knowing from the Holy Scriptures that husband and wife are not two but one, she desired ardently that her husband should serve the Lord as she herself did, lest she should find herself constrained to belong to God only by halves. Now, there never were two hearts, two souls, more united than those of Mary and Joseph, nor could this faithful virgin ever remain satisfied with rendering half service to God. Therefore, she used every endeavor that her other half, Saint Joseph, should be supremely exalted in all sorts of perfections. To use Saint Gregory's own words, she intensely desired that her spouse should be perfect, in order that no part of herself should remain imperfect. Certainly, Mary did everything to secure this object. She sighed, she prayed. And can you believe that Jesus could refuse anything which his tender mother asked for his beloved father? Each day then, the treasure of graces in Joseph's soul visibly grew. Each day his sanctity increased, and the charity of his heart grew more ardent. What indeed could he not hope for, having his spouse as advocate, his son as arbitrator, and God the Father as protector? Such then are one of the principal titles by which we must measure the graces and sanctity of Joseph. Never shall we fully understand the perfections of Saint Joseph, the holy spouse of Mary. End quote. So let us begin with meditating a little bit on this as we approach the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. We heard how each day the treasure of graces in Saint Joseph's soul visibly grew. Each day his sanctity increased, and the charity of his heart grew more ardent through Mary praying that he grow in this grace, wanting him to be just as she is, because the two of them are one. So we can ask a question. Mary being full of grace, Saint Joseph, and we have to underline this, Saint Joseph is the spouse of the Immaculate Conception. I think if we use this title, we might get a bit closer, even though it's a sublime mystery that we'll never really be able to understand. But to say Saint Joseph is the spouse of Mary is deep in itself. But to say Saint Joseph is the spouse of the Immaculate Conception, now that brings us a bit deeper. Our Lady revealing herself at Lourdes, I am the Immaculate Conception. Saint Maximilian would meditate on these words, asking Our Lady, who are you, O Immaculate? The Immaculate Conception. The beautiful dogma of the Immaculate Conception we received. Saint Joseph is the spouse of the Immaculate Conception. What does it mean to be the spouse? He is one with the Immaculate Conception. One thing is to be a child of the Immaculate Conception. Another thing is to be the spouse of the Immaculate Conception. When he is the spouse, they are no longer two, but one. So, in a certain sense, Saint Joseph is in a certain sense fused with the Immaculate Conception. Almost in a way where the Immaculate Conception is in him, above all in his heart, because they become one heart. And his soul, his spirit, is so united to her that if we were to see Saint Joseph, we would be seeing Mary. Later on, we're going to try to elaborate on this a little more. Because, you know, obviously, Saint Joseph has a beard and he's a man. Well, it's not a dogma that he has a beard, but Saint Joseph is a man. Later on, we'll speak a little bit about, or we'll anticipate it. You have some brother and sister, who look alike. So, if we were to see Saint Joseph, we'd see Mary. But we'll quickly speak about that later on. But what does this mean? To have the Immaculate Conception within him. When Saint Maximilian Kolbe speaks about souls being transubstantiated into the Immaculate, he speaks about, paraphrasing Saint Paul, or possibly it's Father Stefano Menelli speaking about paraphrasing Saint Paul, when Saint Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is the aim of this transubstantiation into Mary, so that it's no longer the soul, the person consecrated to Mary who lives, but Mary lives in that person. Mary is in that person. In a certain sense, it's Mary operating, acting, working. In a certain sense, it's her being. That person ceases, in a certain sense, to be, to exist. He's been completely annihilated, and Mary is there. So we can say the Immaculate Conception, Mary, is in that soul. This happens through the union of hearts, where they become one heart. Let's remember in our Children of Mary episodes where we spoke